According to the Bible, Christians have the mind of Christ. But what does that mean when managing money and possessions? I'm Rob West. You may not consider yourself a financial expert, but if you're a believer in Jesus, you have the mind of Christ, and that's enough. Today, we'll explore what it means to have the mind of Christ in your finances, and then we'll take your calls at 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio, biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Well, let's examine what it really means to have the mind of Christ. First, it's about adopting Jesus' perspective on life. As Christians, we aim to serve, speak, think, and love as He did. And this also applies to our financial lives. A good practice is to ask, what would Jesus do in this financial situation? Through God's Word and prayer, we draw closer to Jesus' way of thinking, including how to handle money and resources. The Bible offers further insight. Isaiah 40:13 asks, "Who can fathom the Spirit of the Lord or instruct the Lord as His counselor?" It's a reminder of God's vast wisdom, far beyond our own. But in 1 Corinthians 2:16, Paul quotes Isaiah and makes a profound statement, "But we have the mind of Christ." That means with Jesus, we aren't limited by worldly thinking, but can share God's wisdom, transforming how we manage our lives, including our finances. So what changed between Isaiah's time and Paul's? Well, the answer is Jesus. Jesus bridges the gap between our limited understanding and God's perfect wisdom, helping us align our lives with His purpose. Isaiah's prophecy hints at this transformation with the words, "A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God." Jesus, our shepherd, came to restore us to God and to bring clarity and wisdom to the confusion caused by sin. So, if you're a believer in Jesus, you have His mind. Through the Holy Spirit, we have the ability to understand who God is and why He has us here. This understanding means we're part of His plan to love and restore the world around us. But here's the question. Are we truly living out this truth in all areas, including our finances? It's easy to slip back into worldly minds instead of using the mind of Christ. We might try to manage money, solve problems, and plan for the future without seeking God's perspective. When we do this, we treat our finances as separate from our faith, as if God cares more about some areas than others. But God cares about our financial choices just as much as any other part of our lives. He calls us to trust Him in every aspect of life, inviting His guidance in everything, including our money. Having the mind of Christ also means growing in our relationship with God, just as Jesus is united with the Father. In John 14:11, Jesus says, "I am in the Father, and the Father is in me." Jesus drew His wisdom and strength from His oneness with the Father. The same is true for us when we embrace the mind of Christ. Through our relationship with Him, we find wisdom and resilience and peace for making godly choices in every part of our lives, especially our finances. Making wise financial choices isn't always easy, and financial challenges may leave you feeling anxious or uncertain. But having the mind of Christ means you're not alone. God is with you, actively working in and through you for His purposes. And when you face financial confusion or temptation, remember that God equips His children to overcome worldly thinking. As 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, "We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." So, what does it look like to live with the mind of Christ in finances? Well, first, it means aligning our attitudes and our actions with those of Christ. Second, it means relying on God's strength to do what's right as we submit our decisions to Him. And finally, having the mind of Christ gives us the power to stand firm against the influences and temptations of the world that may lead us astray. Let's remember that nobody gets everything right. We're all on a journey, learning to grow with the Lord. As 1 John 1:9 reminds us, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Don't be discouraged by mistakes or setbacks. Instead, let them be an opportunity to draw closer to God, seek His wisdom, and remember that you have the mind of Christ. This truth enables us to resist the world's way of thinking about money and possessions so that we can manage our resources in ways that honor Him. All right, your calls are next, 800-525-7000. I'm Rob West, and this is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. We're just getting started. Don't go anywhere.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. The season of Advent has been observed by Christians all over the world for hundreds of years. A wonderful time to reflect on what Christ brought to us when He took on human flesh. And the Apostle Paul spent time reflecting on prophecies about the Messiah, and in Romans 15 concluded with this thought: "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." And Jesus Himself is our hope. So may we trust in Him and be filled with an abundance of hope in Christ this Christmas season. And you'll see Jesus more clearly through daily time in God's Word. Try out Anchor Devotional. Just visit getanchor.com.
Are you a financial advisor or CPA seeking to build your practice on biblical wisdom? Not only does the Certified Kingdom Advisor education provide you with deep biblical insights, the CKA designation sets you apart. Each year, almost 50,000 people search for a Christian financial advisor. Join our community and share your expertise with clients looking for someone who shares their faith and values. Find more information at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
It was a bad move. Target invited men who say they feel like women into restrooms and changing areas designated for women. They probably guessed other retailers would follow their lead, but they were wrong. Others saw that bandwagon was headed in the wrong direction. We're not ready to sacrifice the safety of women and children for the sake of progressive bathroom policies. Invite Target to make a better move. Sign the Boycott Target Pledge at afa.net.
FaithFi is grateful for support from One Ascent. One Ascent believes that your values inspire why you invest and how they can inspire how you invest. One Ascent's goal is to provide solutions designed for every need and invest in businesses that bless the people and places God has made. They want to help investors do well by doing good, to explore a new way of investing that aligns with your values. More information is available at oneascent.com and by clicking Analyze My Investments.
We're grateful for support from Timothy Plan. For more than 30 years, they've served clients on a biblically responsible journey to invest in a way that honors God and gives dignity to people's lives. More information is at timothyplan.com. The investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses are contained in the prospectus and summary prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foreside Fund Services LLC.
Well, great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here at American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Well, it's been a while since we've been together. I trust you had a wonderful Thanksgiving celebration with friends and family. And now we'd love to dive back in, help you think about your money journey, especially as we head into a really busy time of year. Hopefully we keep Christ at the center of our Christmas season, but we know with Christmas comes a lot of spending, and if we're not careful, we can allow that to get away from us. I've seen data recently that as many as 30% of Americans are still paying off last Christmas debt. We don't want to find ourselves in that position. But as we think about just our role in as managing God's resources, we want to be intentional. We want to be wise. We want to be reverent to the Scriptures. We also want to be hopeful and really thoughtful about how we steward the resources God has entrusted to us in a way that brings God glory and allows us to both enjoy and provide with what He has entrusted
entrusted to us. We do that each day together during this hour as we help you navigate your role as a steward. And we'd love to hear your very practical questions today. Those things you're wrestling with in your financial life, you can call right now. We have lines open. We'll be taking your calls throughout the remainder of the broadcast today. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. That's 800-525-7000. And whether it's staying on budget this Christmas season or navigating this red hot stock market, who would have thought we'd be in this position a year ago? And yet here we are. And I know you have a 401k and some investments. Maybe you're trying to give wisely. Maybe you're thinking about making a gift of an appreciated asset to the American Family Association, a charitable gift annuity or appreciated stock. You'd like to talk about that, or the bunching strategy that allows you to use a donor advised fund to get up above the standard deduction that 80 to 90% of taxpayers take and allow you to get more of a tax benefit and then do your giving over the next 24 months out of your donor advised fund. But by funding it, if you have capacity at one time in one tax year, might allow you to enjoy some tax benefits. We can talk about that. Maybe it's your credit score, paying down debt, whatever it is today. The number to call with lines open, and our team standing by, is 800-525-7000. You can call right now. We're going to dive in just a few moments. But at first, in the news today, a majority of Americans say their parents never talk to them about money. Well, that's according to a new survey by Fidelity. The survey included nearly 2,000 individuals ages 18 and up. A third of them said having a financial plan isn't necessary, with most of the respondents being in the baby boomer generation. One reason given for a lack of desire to communicate with family members about money is a feeling of self-achievement. In other words, many respondents felt they had earned their wealth all on their own and didn't need to share information about their finances with their parents or their children. This could present problems, of course. It's always helpful to have a long-range financial plan in place and to share necessary information with other family members in case something happens to you. It's also extremely important to teach children how to manage money wisely. Those skills will help them throughout the rest of their lives. And I would say after sharing the gospel with them, there's no greater gift that you can give to your kids than help them to be a steward of their time and relationships and God's word. And yes, their financial resources. And that includes both the financial literacy side, the danger of debt, the power of compounding, the importance of having margin or a cushion, the importance of budgeting and investing. I mean, all of these key ideas. But alongside that, and I would say even more importantly, a biblical worldview of money, that God gave us money as a good gift, that He owns everything, that we're to enjoy it and provide with it and give it generously and even invest it in a way that aligns with our values and promotes human flourishing. And that, you know, when we understand that we have a role as a steward, which means we don't have ownership rights, we have stewardship responsibilities, it's a game changer in terms of how we view God's money that we've been entrusted. Well, all of these big ideas can begin to be communicated very early as you begin to shape and mold your future adults into all that God has for them, remembering more is caught than taught. And so we need to live it out first and foremost. Well, this data would say that we've got some work to do in that area. And if we can help you with that, in terms of thinking about how to communicate money management principles through the lens of Scripture to your kids, you can call right now. We're going to dive into those questions today. We do have lines open. You can call at 800-525-7000. All right, let's get started today. We're going to begin in Pennsylvania. Diane, thanks for calling. How can I help?
Hi. I had been listening to your show, and you were talking to a woman about, I'm sorry, about a $300,000 loan she had. She wanted to retire early, and she was going to try paying it off $2,000 a month. I thought I understood, and $1,500 a month was her mortgage. And you thought it would take her like seven, eight years to pay it off. And I questioned that because when I had taken out a $50,000 loan, and I think it was at 6% back in 87, The first year I was paying on it, I arranged for money to put it on. Sorry.
That's okay.
And I had arranged for, I think it was like maybe $150 a month because I had a shorter time till the taxes were due, which would total up to $1,500. And what happened was the woman who I talked to quit, and the money I was paying that was supposed to go in for taxes went into the principal. Well, by the time tax time came around, I had cut off 5 years of payments because of that $1,500 going in.
Yes.
So I questioned it. It seemed like she should have been able to do that. If I was right, that she was going to pay $2,000 a month plus the $1,500 mortgage, that she would have paid off sooner than 8 years. I didn't understand how you come up with that big of a difference.
Yeah. Makes sense. Well, I don't remember the specifics of that, but let's just talk generally, Diane, because I think you raise a great point, and that is the value of prepaying your mortgage, applying money above and beyond the scheduled mortgage payment, which is based on what they call an amortization schedule. So depending upon where she was in the amortization schedule, meaning if she was in year one of 30 years, then the vast majority of that $1,500 a month in your example that was her scheduled payment would be going to interest, very little to principal. At some point that would flip. And if she was in the latter years, maybe years, you know, 25 to 28 of that 30-year payback, which she probably wouldn't be with a $300,000 balance, but at that point, the majority of that $1,500 a month would be going to principal. But let's say she was still in the early part of her mortgage amortization, then the vast majority of that $1,500 a month was going to interest and very little to principal. So if we just look at the extra $2,000 a month she's sending, to principal reduction over 8 years, that would only be $192,000, $24,000 a year times 8 years. So I think it's conceivable that the math was right. The idea here is, though, that anytime we can apply more, it's helpful because we reduce the principal immediately, and then we don't pay interest on that money for the life of the loan, which is a big deal. So if you can add an extra payment a year, if you can add some extra every month, always a beneficial idea. Diane, thanks for listening. We'll be right back.
Do you want to prepare for God's calling on your life to ministry? Many people have a sense that God is calling them to ministry, but they don't know the next step to take. Here's a step that may be for you. Wesley Biblical Seminary offers a new Bachelor of Arts in Christian Ministry that's entirely online, and it will prepare you for whatever ministry God calls you to next. We want to equip you with knowledge and tools you need to confidently fulfill the calling that God has put on your life. Learn more at wbs.edu. That's wbs.edu.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
What's your reputation? Kind? Generous? Shy? Rick Robertson says it would be wonderful to have the reputation of being someone who did things that were right in God's eyes. Of course, our best example of that is Jesus. And in the article in The Stand called A Soul Refreshing Rain, Rick helps us see how Jesus' attributes can change our daily lives. Visit afa.net/thestand and read A Soul Refreshing Rain today. afa.net/thestand.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
Abraham Hamilton III, host of The Hamilton Corner. American Family Association is on the front lines in the culture war in America. We've been here for more than 40 years, fighting for the biblical principles our nation was founded upon. And by God's grace, we are making a difference.
Contact the AFA Foundation today to learn how you can shore up permanent income for your retirement years while supporting American Family Association. Phone 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Faith and Finance is grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing. For more than 30 years, they've offered financial wisdom for living well. SMI provides step-by-step guidance for do-it-yourself investors, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. More information, including a short video webinar on profit and peace of mind no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. By the way, I mentioned in the last segment that, you know, some of you might be sitting on appreciated assets here in the month of December, and maybe you've got appreciated stock, or you're looking to make a gift into a charitable gift annuity, and you're looking for income for life, but also the ability to get a current tax deduction and then eventually give the money away to kingdom building activities. Well, the team at American Family Association's Foundation would love to talk to you about your greatest opportunity for giving that you might be missing, which is over on your balance sheet. And they can journey with you to tell you how you can make a gift that would be beneficial from a tax standpoint, but also an incredible blessing to the work of the American Family Association. Just go to AFAFoundation.net to learn more. And the team there, Riley and Chelsea and Jessica, would be delighted to meet with you and explain all of your options. But don't wait, because here at the end of the year, the beginning of December, this is a busy season for charitable gifts, as you might imagine, especially those that are a bit more complex. And so reaching out to AFAFoundation.net right away would be a great idea. They'd love to schedule an appointment with you. All right, we're taking your phone calls today, 800-525-7000, tackling whatever's on your financial minds today. Let's continue. We'll go to New Jersey. And Erica, you'll be our next caller. Go ahead.
Yes, hi. Thank you so much for taking my call. I have a question about what to do with the profits from a home sale. My fiance and I, prior to selling our house in Trenton, we bought a house in South Plainfield, and then we were able to sell our house. It took a little bit longer to sell. So we bought the house, got a 7.5 interest rate, unfortunately, and I'm hearing interest rates are coming down, but we still can't refinance for 6 months. We've been here for about 4 months, so we've got a couple more months to go. But we did profit from the sale of our house, about a little over $160,000. So, but the thing is, the house that we bought needs renovations, like windows and siding is $100,000 in renovations alone. Well, window, siding, and roof. And then we want to extend the kitchen, and we want to finish the basement and the attic. And that's being quoted at like $180,000. So we've already taken out a loan for the roof, windows, and siding because we already got that work started, and we're getting the renovation work on the basement and attic started like next month, and we're looking to take out a loan for that. My question is, should we use the profits from the house sale towards the renovations, or should we wait for our the opening to refinance or recast and put it down on the mortgage?
Yeah, it's a great question. And my primary concern at this point is just making sure you all find yourself in a position when all this is said and done, you know, you're in the home, you're settled, it's in a livable condition. Even if there's some other projects you want to do down the road, you've addressed the immediate concerns that, you know, are really serious and, you know, could further damage the home if they're not addressed, but not get you in a position where you've got too much house and, you know, you're putting strain on the budget that you're going to have to then live with for a long period of time, because, you know, normally what we would want to do is take all of that equity from a home sale and roll it into the next home as we just continue on this journey of trying to, you know, have lower and lower mortgages throughout your working life, ultimately getting to the place where you're completely debt-free heading into retirement. So, you know, I would see that equity coming out of that previous home as not money to use for other things, but money, you know, to seed that next purchase, especially if you're buying something bigger or, you know, in an environment like we're in now where you were going from a low interest rate mortgage to a higher interest rate mortgage. But I understand it's already done. I mean, normally if you were calling me saying we're considering buying this house and it's going to be a bit more expensive and, oh, by the way, it needs, you know, quite a bit of work, I would have said, wait a minute, let's back up and look at the budget and make sure you're not getting all of this out of line, because the three big budget busters are housing, transportation, and food. Typically food a little easier to deal with, but, you know, it's pretty costly to buy and sell homes if we find ourselves in a position where we've, you know, purchased more than our budget will support. So let's just kind of talk through that, because the other thing you mentioned, which is exactly right, is, you know, whether or not you would be eligible for a mortgage recast, because as you probably know, if you don't pay off that mortgage entirely, that mortgage payment is going to stay exactly the same, even though you're helping yourself from an interest saving standpoint by prepaying the mortgage. You still got that same monthly payment unless your mortgage company is willing to do a recast, and we could talk about that, and they very well might be. So in terms of the house itself, you know, typically I would say, just as a starting point, that principal, interest, taxes, and insurance payment should be no more than 30% at the most. Even better would be 25% of your take-home pay. Do you know where you're sitting at currently?
It's about, with dual income, it's about a quarter.
Okay. Yeah. So that's good. And so are you finding yourself, and we're not talking about the renovations yet, we'll get to that, but with the current mortgage that you got and this high interest rate of 7.5, are you finding yourselves able to cover all of your expenses and still have a little bit of a margin left over?
We are working time. We are, when my fiance is working 7.5, we're comfortable, but I'd love for him to not have to work overtime every week.
No, I get that for sure. And are you planning to continue with the dual incomes for the time being?
Yes.
Okay. So if he were to just work his regular job, not 7.5, because I know that's taxing for sure, you know, that seems like the 7.5 is not really sustainable for the long term. So if he were to cut back to just kind of more of a 40-hour a week, would you all be underwater at that point, or you just wouldn't have any extra?
We just wouldn't have any extra.
Okay.
Like,
all right.
No eating out, no going out, and no Amazon.
Yeah. No, I get that. And that's challenging. I mean, that's easy to do for a season, easier to do for a season, harder to do for the long haul, just because, you know, if we strip out all the kind of nice to haves, it's just more difficult to maintain for any length of time. So if we were to put the 150 against the house and recast it, what's the minimum you all could get away with putting into the house in terms of repairs and renovations if you were to push everything out further that you possibly can?
Probably just maybe 80,000 instead of the 180, like not getting the kitchen extended.
Okay. All right. Yeah, that's helpful. Let's do this. I've got to take a quick break, but we'll pick this back up on the other side. Ron and Bill coming your way as well. We'll be right back.
We're grateful for support from Timothy Plan. For more than 30 years, they've served clients on a biblically responsible journey to invest in a way that honors God and gives dignity to people's lives. More information is at timothyplan.com. The investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses are contained in the prospectus and summary prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foreside Fund Services LLC.
Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, a growing national network of pastors committed to the authority of Scripture and preaching the whole counsel of God. We believe biblical obedience is the foundation for revival, and impacting our culture for Christ is our duty. For too long, the pulpits of America have been silent on the important issues such as marriage and family and assault on our liberty. Join us in the battle for truth on Stand in the Gap weekend, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. on American Family Radio, and visit us at AmericanPastorsNetwork.org.
Frustrated by your health insurance? Confused by the network restrictions and increasing premiums? There's a better way. Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM is a Christian community delivering a faith-based solution to the high cost of healthcare. Take back control of your healthcare with the ability to choose a provider you trust with no network restrictions and savings of up to 40%. Learn more and enroll today at chministries.org/faithfi. That's chministries.org/faithfi.
Absolutely free. We know you've learned to be suspicious of those words, but really, you can get biblical financial wisdom delivered to your inbox each week absolutely free. Articles, videos, podcasts, and special offers on biblical resources. Nearly 60,000 people receive our free weekly wisdom email, and you can too. Create your free FaithFi account by going to faithfi.com and click sign up to begin receiving weekly wisdom in your inbox.
The loss of a child through abortion, miscarriage, or stillbirth affects the emotional health of families. Feelings of anger, sadness, and regret can be overwhelming. There is hope and healing in the aftermath of a reproductive loss. Call the International Helpline at 866-482-LIFE to talk with someone who has been where you are and healed to help others. Your call is confidential. 866-482-LIFE.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We've got a few lines open today for your financial questions. You can call right now, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. Before the break, we were talking to Erica in New Jersey. They sold their home, had about $150,000 left after all the expenses were paid in terms of the equity coming out of the home. They bought a new home that's maxed out their budget in part because they have a bigger mortgage and they have an interest rate of 7.5%. They believe this home needs about $200,000 in renovations. Challenges in order to balance the budget and put everything in there. Her husband, Erica's husband, is working time and a half, and she's acknowledging that's not sustainable. So in order to do that, they really need to dial back expenses. So they're wondering, how should we use this $150,000? And what I would say, you know, is I would love for you to be able to put 100% of this $150,000 against the house and really drop this, you know, payment, because you went into it with a $37,000 down payment. If we were to add $150,000 to that, that'd be, you know, $187,000, which would take your mortgage payment, you know, down from, you know, what it is today, about $2,850 a month, down to about $1,800. So we drop $1,000 a month, Erica, you know, on that, just the principal and interest portion, and then you'd have the property taxes and insurance on top of that, which I'm guessing is about $1,200 a month just based on your numbers. You know, so that would put you up at, you know, $3,000 instead of $4,000. So you'd be $1,000 lower than what you're paying right now, $12,000 a year, which would hopefully help. You'd have to get the recast from your mortgage company, which is basically just where you confirm eligibility. They don't all allow it, but conventional mortgages usually qualify. You'd need to make that major lump sum payment, which you would, and then you'd get all the necessary documents. They'd probably be a processing fee. You'd submit the request, and then you'd finalize it, and you'd have a new payment once that's done, hopefully $1,000 based on my rough calculations lower, and then that would get your budget in line. But that would leave nothing for the renovations, and then we'd have to push everything off, and maybe as interest rates come down, you could add a home equity loan down the road once you could afford it. Because again, I just don't think it's sustainable for your husband. But maybe we split the difference, and you're going to have to do the hard work on the budget to figure out whether this is even possible. But maybe you take the you know, $150,000, and you know, as you said, maybe you put $80,000 toward the renovations, and you know, you still got $70,000 to apply to the mortgage, and so instead of maybe saving $1,000 a month, we're saving $600 a month or something like that. But again, you know, I think as much as you can delay and put off, despite the fact that it's not ideal, what I'm most concerned about is that you get into a situation where your budget is right-sized and balanced, your husband's not having to, you know, work time and a half, which again is not going to be sustainable for the long term, as much as I'm sure you appreciate his willingness to do that right now. And then you wait on everything and you do that through a lower mortgage down the road. You know, the challenge is you're going to want to refinance this in a couple of years anyway, once rates are lower, but we just don't know how quickly that's going to happen. You know, we could still be in the mid sixes, you know, at the end of this next year. We just don't know. I mean, maybe we're in the high fives and then it does make sense. But I think at this point, you know, you've got to really go back to the budget, and that would be my starting point. Does that all make sense, though?
It does. It does. And that's what I was thinking. Splitting it, because we definitely need the renovations. I'm having a child, my second child in January, so we definitely need the space.
Okay.
But the kitchen extension could probably wait versus the extra bedroom I definitely need.
Got it. Yeah. Yeah. I think the key is to get a contractor in there. Do you have a general contractor that you've already landed on?
I do. And he's been super flexible. And I also have family helping me. So the contractor's not doing all of the work. I have family that's going to be helping, like doing the finishing, the painting and floors and stuff like that. That's not permitted.
Yeah.
Permit.
That's a blessing for sure. All right. Well, listen, I think you guys need to make this a matter of prayer. I would really spend some time with that budget and make sure that you're realistic about what it takes to fund your family, especially with the new child coming, and, you know, really put a pencil to it and figure out what's possible. You know, before you make any of these decisions. But I think you're considering the right things here, Erica, and I hope this has been helpful to you. Call anytime if we can help further. May the Lord bless you. Congrats on that new little one as well. Let's go out to Oklahoma. Hi, Ron. Go ahead.
Good morning, sir. Hey, Rob, thanks a lot for taking my call.
Sure.
Hey, just wanted to get a clarification on how my siblings and myself will inherit some investments of our elderly mother, and they've been asking questions. She has a brokerage account, and then she also has an IRA, and I'm pretty sure those are handled differently on how those are settled for the various beneficiaries. And so just wanted to be a little more clear on that.
Yeah, makes sense. What is her intention? Is she just wanting to divide all this equally?
Well, we were set up on the brokerage account as the beneficiaries, the children are.
Yeah.
And she would just divide that among my siblings and myself, you know, that four ways, you know.
Yeah.
So just that was the question. And then on IRAs, I think it's the same way. It's just that I think you end up getting an inherited IRA.
That's right.
The passing of the owner.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So the nice thing about both of those accounts is that they have the ability to have named beneficiaries, and it can be multiple beneficiaries, and you would just write in the percentage that each one is entitled to, and then that passes outside of probate. So there's no, you know, delay related to the probate court. There's no extra expense, and it would pass directly to each heir. And you're right. In the case of the the taxable account, the non-IRA, it would go immediately. There'd be a stepped-up basis for any of the holdings. And so if the assets were then sold, there would not be any capital gains. There's no federal inheritance tax, there's no federal inheritance tax. There may be an estate tax, but only if it was a massive estate over $13 million. So, and that's based on 2024. So I think that's the key there with the IRA. Yeah, it works the same way with the named beneficiary or beneficiaries, and then it would be come by way of an inherited IRA, and then you typically would pull it out, you know, over 10 years at a max. You could do it quicker than that, and then you'd pay tax on the money as it comes out. So that would be the way that would be handled. And then everything else, it's not included in one of those accounts with the named beneficiaries would be handled by either a trust or a will, you know, if she had other assets and personal effects. Does that make sense?
She does have a trust. Yes, it does. And I guess on the brokerage account, yes, the siblings all have to take their defined percentage of those stocks. If you had 100 shares of a particular stock, you're going to get that divided up by the number of those beneficiaries. And each takes their stock, and then you can deal with it then. That's where you get your tax basis. You wouldn't want to sell it before you actually split that up to the beneficiaries.
That's typically the way it works. They would receive the stocks in the, you know, they would divide up the shares, you're correct, based on how many beneficiaries you have and what's in the portfolio, and then let each heir determine how they want to handle that moving forward.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And just by chance, could you, if you had, like me, if I have some children, I do, can you jump a beneficiary and maybe pass that inheritance straight to your children if you'd like to give it to them?
No, she would have to name them for you. You would then turn around and make that as a gift. I've got to take a break. Let's finish off the air. We'll be right back.
To sharpen the biblical worldview of Christians and to share the good news of Jesus Christ, that is the mission of the Christian Worldview Radio program. I'm host David Wheaton, inviting you to join us this Saturday morning at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, as we discuss all matters of life and faith from a decidedly biblical perspective. The Christian Worldview, Saturday mornings at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, right here on American Family Radio.
How much control, unfortunately, the executive office does have to direct a lot of these procedures in terms of amnesty, you know, what they can do, even though Congress needs to step it up. And we know constitutionally they should be making sure that the law reflects the American position. But law enforcement is the executive branch. And if you're not enforcing the law, then the law is merely just on paper.
Jenna Ellis in the morning, weekdays at 7 Central on American Family Radio.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com/faith. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
Hey, thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. Here in our final segment today, I've got some lines open. I've got room for you. If you have a financial question today, call right now, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. You can call right now. Let's go to Alabama. Hi, Bill. Go ahead, sir.
Good morning.
Hi there.
How you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thanks for your call.
Yes, sir. I had a question.
All right.
Can you hear me?
I sure can. Yes, sir.
I had a question on qualified money. I'm on Social Security. I started it 3 or 4 years ago. And anyway, we've got qualified money in a retirement account, simple, you know, from being self-employed. And then I have another account that I started years ago with Dan Celia. And so I was wondering, what did you need to draw down first, the qualified or just a regular investment account?
Yeah. You know, I like the idea of taking that money from that taxable account because you've already paid taxes on the money. If you've held those investments for more than a year, which sounds like you've had them for quite a while, you know, you'd be eligible for the long-term capital gains tax rate. Now, we've got the Trump Tax Cuts and Jobs Act expiring next year. With the outcome of the election, we would expect that would at the very least be put in place hopefully permanently, in my view, and perhaps with control of the House and the Senate, you know, maybe we even see some lower tax rates. We just don't know, but we do know that we're in a pretty low tax environment right now. But despite that, we could have lower taxes in the future. So I think the idea that you would take out the money out of those taxable accounts where the tax has already been paid, and then, you know, just pay that the capital gain on that, I think is a great option for you. The nice thing about that qualified money is that money is going to continue to grow in whatever you haven't invested in. And because it's in a tax-deferred environment, the taxes are not going to put any kind of drag on the investments. If you're getting dividends paid, those will be paid in without tax. If you're selling any of those investments to replace them with others inside that qualified account, that's not going to be taxable from a capital gain standpoint. So I kind of like that money continuing to stay put and you pulling out from the non-qualified account that you have with the investments Dan Celia recommended.
Okay. Well, how do you figure the taxes on that? They're talking about at a certain point your Social Security gets taxed. How do they come up with them tax numbers? Or, you know, like if you got a piece of land you sell, you know, for the cost of it where there's no tax consequences, does all that count as income, or how does that work?
Yeah, so basically about 40% of people who get Social Security pay federal income tax on their benefits. So if you file a joint return and you and your spouse have combined income that's between $32,000 and $44,000, you'd pay a taxes on up to 50% of your Social Security benefits. If you're more than $44,000, you could pay up to 85% of your benefits. So it's really going to come down to combined income. Now, basically, that when they use that term combined income, what we're talking about is your adjusted gross income plus non-taxable interest and half of your Social Security benefits. Then you take away from that, you know, certain deductions and exclusions. So it gets a little complicated, you know, and so I would, you know, perhaps you could get with a CPA and determine which is the best year for you to pull, you know, that money out, whether it's 2024 or 2025, just based on any other income or interest that you have, because depending on how much you have is going to determine how much of your Social Security is taxable. It's either going to be nothing, or it could be up to half, or as much as 85% could be taxable.
Okay, so you're going to end up paying tax on it no matter what then?
Yeah, just really
about if your income's 80 or 90,000 a year.
Absolutely, yeah, you sure are. And I know a lot of people get frustrated about that because they say, wait a minute, I've already paid into Social Security through FICA taxes. Now I'm collecting benefits, and you want me to pay more FICA taxes? And the answer is, yep, they sure do. And that's going to help fund the retirement benefits of other people. So that's just, unfortunately, the way the system works.
Like the old saying, death and taxes. I ain't gonna get out either one of them.
That's exactly right. You're exactly right, sir.
That was my question as far as which to draw down first. Probably sometime next year we may start doing that.
Okay.
And then go from there. But that's what I wanted to know, and I surely appreciate it.
Absolutely, Bill. Thanks for your call. Call anytime, sir. 800-525-7000. Here in our final segment, this is Faith and Finance Live. I'm Rob West. We're helping you apply God's wisdom to your financial decisions and choices. Let's go to Virginia. Hi, Bob. How can I help?
Yeah, hi, Rob. Thank you for your show. I really enjoy all the financial questions and answers. So God bless you for doing that. My question my dad passed away about a year or so ago, and he left four siblings, you know, a retirement income. And my question is, do I need to pull out a certain amount per year up to 10 years and then pull the full amount out in 10 years, or can I wait for 10 years and then pull the full amount out that's required?
Yeah, you know, there's been a lot of changes in this over the years, so let me just talk generally about this, and I would check with your CPA on specifics related to your situation. But this rule on the 10-year rule for an inherited IRA, which governs the time frame where it has to be fully distributed, was put in place in the Secure Act in 2019. And so, you know, for non-spouse beneficiaries who inherit an IRA, which is what you're talking about here, after January 1st of 2020, then basically the rule says you have to withdraw the entire balance by December 31st of the 10th year following the account owner's death. And this applies to a traditional IRA or a Roth or an employer-sponsored plan like a 401k. You're not required to take distributions every year unless the deceased was already taking required minimums. But if not, then you just have to make sure that the money is out by the end of the year on the 10th year. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir, it does. And I know for a fact he was taking some minimum distributions out per year prior to his death. So,
okay. So if that's the case, yeah. So if the deceased was taking those RMDs, then you would have to continue taking those each year during the 10-year period. And then after the RMDs are satisfied, then the remaining balance has to be fully withdrawn by the end of the 10th year. But at a minimum, you'd have to continue those RMDs each year during the 10 years.
And with those minimum distributions, are those taxable or do I just roll them over into another IRA?
No. You got to take them out as a distribution, which makes that a taxable event. And then it cannot be put back into an IRA unless you're making your own contribution based on, you know, the fact that you have earned income and, you know, you're eligible to make the contribution up to the max each year. You can't roll it to another qualified account. You got to pull it out, pay the tax on it, and then do what you want with it at that point.
Fantastic. Well, thank you. I really appreciate the answer and have a blessed day.
All right. You too, Bob. Thanks for calling today. We appreciate you. Let's see. Down to Arkansas. Hi, Robert. How can I help?
Hi, Rob. I have a question. Can I still contribute to my IRA even though I'm 68 years old?
Yes. Yeah, you sure can. You never age out from being able to contribute to an IRA so long as you have earned income. And so this is wages, salaries, tips, other taxable employee pay. You know, this is not unearned income like interest or Social Security benefits. We're talking wages and salaries and, you know, if you're self-employed, something like that. So as long as you have earned income, you can always contribute to an IRA up to that earned income or until you reach the max contribution limit for the year. But there is no cap by age.
Is rental income, does that qualify for earned income rental?
It sure does, yes. Yep. So okay. rental income is typically, yeah. Well, let me think about that for a second. So I would check on that. Often the rental income is treated as passive for tax purposes. And so I would check with your CPA just to see, because I'm just thinking about this again here. I'm pretty sure it is not considered earned income. Because of the way that it's earned, but I would check with your CPA on that. Do you have any other earned income besides the rental income?
No, that's it. Huh? Yeah.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I'm pretty sure. And again, I would double check this. I'm pretty sure it's considered unearned income because of the passive nature of it.
One more question, Ron. If my mother had a savings account with my name on it, does it automatically go to me when she passes away?
So it depends on how it's titled. Are you joint tenants with right of survivorship?
Yes, uh-huh.
Okay, yeah. If that's the case, then it would automatically go to you. If you just if you're joint owners and you each have a 50% share, then her portion would pass according to her will. But if you're joint tenants with right of survivorship, then you would get the full amount. So I would check with the bank just to see how it's titled, and that would tell you whether you're entitled to 50% of it or the whole thing at her passing.
I have to check the bank to find out what that.
Yeah, see how it's titled. Hey, God bless you, Robert. Thanks for calling today. Bess, I'd love to get you your call tomorrow. Let's see if the team can get you scheduled to be up first. Hey, big thanks to my team today. I couldn't do this without Devin Patrick and Jim Henry and Sandy Dickinson and everybody here at FaithFi. This is a really important season for us as we head toward year end at FaithFi. If you've enjoyed the ministry or it's been helpful to you in any way, every gift doubled to FaithFi at faithfi.com. Just click give. $50 is $100, $100 is $200. You can do the math. FaithFi.com, just click give. Enjoy your day and come back and join us tomorrow. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.